It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Investigators are saying it could take weeks to determine what caused a bus crash that took the lives of the bus driver and coach of the Seton Hill women's lacrosse team. The crash happened Saturday morning on the way to a match with Millersville University when the bus veered off, hit a guardrail, and traveled 75 yards before smashing into a tree a mile east of the Carlisle interchange. Seton Hill lacrosse coach Christina Quigley was pregnant when she died of multiple traumatic injuries. Her unborn son Jackson died of blood loss, according to an autopsy. The bus driver, Anthony Guaieta, died at the scene from multiple traumatic blunt force injuries. Toxicology tests for Guaieta are pending. 14 Seton Hill students were injured. I'm joined now by John Lucey, a writer for Penn Live and the Patriot News newspaper. John Lucey, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
What can you tell us about where things stand in the investigation?
Well, like you said, they're saying as far as for a cause of what actually caused the bus to go off the road, that could take weeks. And just to set the scene, this was Saturday morning. There was some precipitation, kind of snowish, slushish stuff that was coming down. The autopsies of the two deceased in the accident, the coach and the bus driver, have come back, and both the cause of death in both was blunt force trauma. So it didn't appear that the bus driver had had a heart attack or anything like that that would have precipitated the accident. So it's really up in the air in terms of what caused it. Two of the injured ladies lacrosse players remain in the hospital. The rest of the team sort of coalesced back at the university Sunday night. They had a memorial service for the dead and injured in the accident, and really came together as a university community. And at the core of that was the team, which were all intact except for three people who were still recovering, and they had their crimson and white uniforms on in the chapel of the university, and they sat together near the altar. And then, because it's a Catholic mass, when it was time to have the communion supper, the team, as in unison, went to the back of the church, got the elements, bread and wine for the communion, brought them to the altar to be blessed. So they in a sense were kind of almost like feeding their community, sort of leading them in this grief process. That's kind of where it stands.
A lot of symbolism there.
Yeah, for sure.
You mentioned the two of the 14 students who were injured in the bus crash and that they are still in the hospital. Is there any, I know that the Seton Hill University Communications Department has been very careful about what information they are choosing to release. What do we know, if anything, about the condition of those two hospitalized students?
They're both at Hershey Medical Center, and one is listed in serious condition. But just talking to people on campus, I was out there all day on Sunday, and it's generally thought that, you know, people were relieved that that everybody on the team was going to recover. That you know, I'm sure I'm not diminishing whatever injuries the two that remained in the hospital. Nothing is seen as serious, life-threatening, you know, injuries at this time. So there was this sense of relief, even as they were mourning this coach who was relatively new to the university community. This was their only second season as head coach of the ladies lacrosse team. There was this real sense of relief that it really could have been worse, and that the team, the young people, the college students, the female athletes were spared. So I'm expecting a full recovery, and who knows, we may see both of those players released within days.
So physically, the survivors seem to be doing okay. The question is, and you mentioned again, John, attending the memorial mass for Christina Quigley at Seton Hill University's St. Joseph Chapel on Sunday. What about the emotional wounds? What did you observe that would lead you to make an assessment of just the emotional condition of these players and students at this point?
you know, they're obviously looking to each other. That sense of team is intact, even though they've lost their coach. The sense of togetherness, being as one, sort of acting as one throughout their participation in the service, and having the uniforms on, to me, was a big symbol that their identity as teammates is really core to not only who they are, but it's going to be core to their recovery. Nothing has really been said when the team might get back to their regular schedule, but I just know from past experiences when there's been tragedies involving sports teams, a lot of them think that getting back to the games themselves, because then your focus is totally outside of yourself, you know, when you're in a game situation, is often the most therapeutic. So I wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, get back on the field sometime soon.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm speaking with John Lucey, a writer for Penn Live and the Patriot News newspaper, about the bus crash involving the Seton Hill women's lacrosse team, in which two people died, including the driver and coach Christina Quigley and her unborn child. John, a couple more questions before we let you go. Seton Hill is a small Catholic school. Describe the nature of that Catholic school component and how it's helping these student athletes cope with all this.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it, that you know, the Catholic mass that they used for the memorial service was had all the earmarks of leading up to Easter. The gospel story was about Lazarus, Jesus' friend who died, who he brings back to life to not really restore the physical life of his friend, but actually to show the power of God to grant everyone life everlasting. So there's a lot of religious symbolism, you know, in the mass, and I think obviously if you're attending a Catholic school, that's a big component of your life and your upbringing. So it's a natural source of comfort, I think, for a lot of the students there, and the chapel, which is a beautiful chapel. It's on the third floor of their administration building, and it's big, it's cavernous, it has these high soaring. It's almost like a church. I mean, it's almost as big as a church. It really. And everybody was packed in there all day Sunday. It was kind of a cloudy, gloomy day. You really didn't see very many people on campus. But as that mass time neared around 7 p.m., everybody converged on that chapel. And that became the focal point and the beginning, I think, of, you know, the healing. The mourning was going on, but then there was a sense of healing, and all the messages were of the power, you know, of belief in God to be the source of that.
Seton Hill has canceled the next couple of lacrosse matches. You've indicated that it would seem that they plan to resume the season. What has the university officially said at this point about when and if they will resume their 2013 lacrosse, women's lacrosse season?
Yeah, no official word on that, and I was just hypothetical, you know, just based on what other sports teams have encountered, both at the pro and the college level, you know, when there is a tragedy, that for the team members themselves, there is a real desire to get back to it, because it's the one moment when you're practicing and playing a game that you're focused outside yourself. You're out of your head. You're caught up in the moment by moment of the game and the action, and you're not thinking about problems and grief and all that. So I was just going based on the psychology of sports and thinking that they would probably get back to it sooner or later, but no official word on that. But one side note, the surrounding colleges, sports teams that compete against Seton Hill, a lot of their athletes bust in for the memorial service. So they're getting a lot of support in the athletic community, that collegiate athletic community. And so I just think that's going to be another source of strength and healing when this, you know, when they decide it's appropriate to, obviously part of the component would be to name an acting head coach and start up practices again, see if the core of the team is physically able to take the field, emotionally ready to take the field. But I'm sure that's happening behind the scenes. It's just that Seton Hill is not really giving us a window into that process right now.
John Lucey is a writer for Penn Live and the Patriot News newspaper. I'm sure many of our listeners will want to follow the progress of the Seton Hill story. Where do they find your – I know you're going to be tweeting updates, John. Where do they find you on Twitter?
Yes, I'm at John, J-O-H-N, Lucey, L-U-C-I-E-W, at John Lucey on Twitter. And, of course, we're always accessible at PennLive.com, P-E-N-N-L-I-V-E.com.
John Lucey, again, thank you so much for your help in giving us an update on this story.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Coming up, a discussion of the region's top quality of life concerns when Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA.